We're turning to the book of Matthew. We're up to chapter 14 and verse 34. Matthew 14, as I stated earlier, we're going to switch to the morning, cover Matthew 15 and following. But we're finishing chapter 14 this evening. Worth it that we pause and consider this summary passage. It's not the first time that the Gospel of Matthew has summarized the healing ministry of Jesus Christ in this way. But I want you to notice how comprehensive healing of Jesus is. It's very important in the gospel account. Starting at verse 34. When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The precious word of the living and the true God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is fulfilling what we were singing about in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which healing takes place. But notice that Psalm 103 connects forgiveness from iniquities and healing. There's a spiritual impact to this healing. There's a lesson for us to learn. And when we move into chapter 15, we're going to find out that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are concerned about purity. They're concerned about cleanliness, ritual cleanliness. And Jesus Christ has already begun to show that he has the power over disease without becoming unclean himself. That's quite remarkable. It's remarkable that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal people by means of a touch. Because from the perspective of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he should stay away from such people. But it doesn't happen here. In fact, this theme of the Lord Jesus Christ healing by means of being touched is something that echoes a story that we already read in the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 9, verse 20, a woman who was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And then it foreshadows what we read in Acts 19 as God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There's something amazing being accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ that is even accomplished as the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven pours out his spirit upon the disciples, the apostles. So what's happening here? Well, we consider the story. They went to the land of Gennesaret. They didn't end up where they were headed before because of that big event that happened on the lake. They were blown off course. And they came to this land of Gennesaret. But it's not a mistake. This is where they were supposed to go. Gennesaret was a region, not just a town. It was a region on the western shore south of Capernaum. It was where Herod Antipas ruled, which is a bit surprising. Gennesaret is a place that the Jewish historian Josephus tells us was known for walnuts and palms and figs and olives and grapes. This is Gennesaret, the place where Jesus came. And when Jesus comes to this place, there's already knowledge of him. The men of that place began to spread the word because it says they know who he is. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into the country. and they brought unto him all that were diseased. What is this knowledge that they have of Jesus Christ? Well, clearly the Lord Jesus Christ had healed before. And the knowledge of who he was, the knowledge of his power, was spreading. But what kind of power is it that the Lord Jesus Christ has? It's power, you see, not only over nature, so that he's able to multiply loaves and fish, and he's able to walk on the water, but he has power even over fallen bodies and minds. He has power against the fall. The power that the Lord Jesus Christ has is in the context of a fallen world. This isn't a perfect world into which Jesus Christ comes and he has to demonstrate his power. It's a fallen world. It's a world that's overcome by sin and death and disease. And the devil has been trying to hold people captive through their fear of death. That's the world into which Jesus Christ came. The world that is going to attempt to crucify, to kill the Messiah. A world that rejects the one who was sent to save. That's the kind of world into which Jesus Christ comes. So immediately we see that it's not only his power that's demonstrated in this great healing, it's his incredible love. His incredible love in the midst of a world that is ravaged by disease. A world where he's going to be opposed, as we see in chapter 15, as we've already seen. Power in a fallen world. Power over fallen people. And the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't pick and choose who he's going to heal. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to show you the people that I'm going to heal, and they can go over on that side. And those of you that I don't choose can go over on that side. And then I will choose which group I'm going to heal. He doesn't do it that way at all. They bring to him everybody. Everybody that they can find. They're rounding them up because they have knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have knowledge of his power to heal. And that's the motivation. To bring people to be healed. People that are diseased. People that are affected by the fall. So when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive forgiveness of sin, we recognize that he has the authority, he has the power to grant us forgiveness even in the midst of a fallen world as fallen human beings. He comes to people who have been affected by the fall, who are diseased, and he heals them. But he heals them in this unusual way. This way that was described in Matthew chapter 9 when this woman comes up to him and touches the hem of his garment, the corner of his robe. These people seem to expect that that's the way that they should be healed. They actually ask him, beg him, besought him, that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Now many times the Lord Jesus Christ heals people by speaking to them and by talking to them about believing in him. He has a conversation with this woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. But there are also these other examples in the Gospels where he heals large numbers of people. And pretty much everybody. Matthew 4. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 4:23. And his fame spreads, and they bring to him all sick people who were healed with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 8:16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. All. Again and again. All. All that are brought to him. The Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrating the fact that he is the fulfillment of the promise given in Isaiah 35. He's the great Messiah. And he heals all that come to him. Chapter 9, verse 35, he heals every sickness and every disease. Chapter 12 and verse 15, great multitudes follow him and heals them all. All. So notice here that there are two aspects to this healing. They are only asking to do one simple thing, to touch the hem of his garment. And when they do that, they are completely healed. So there's a simple thing. Only those who touch the hem of his garment are healed. But, on the other hand, all who touch the hem of his garment are healed. You only have to do that simple thing. And reminds us of a story, an account in history, of something that happened as Naaman encounters Elisha. Naaman, in 2 Kings 5, expected that Elisha was the means by which healing took place. Elisha should come to me and heal me of my leprosy. Elisha, he's the vehicle of God's power. But it doesn't happen that way. Elisha sends a messenger unto him, 2 Kings 5:10. Saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He's angry. And he went away, and he said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. I thought he was going to come visit me, because he's the means by which healing takes place. This is the prophet. He has a special gift of healing. Why won't he come to me? He tells me to go wash in the Jordan. Naaman is ticked off. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? The servants are pointing out that it's not a difficult thing, not a trial that he's been asked to go through. He's asked to simply trust that this simple thing is a message that comes from the prophet of God. That this is the pathway to being clean. And lo and behold, when he just does this simple thing, Naaman is completely healed. We read that in the next verse, 2 Kings 5:14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman does the simple thing, and he learns a lesson. The power of healing is not in Elisha. Because Elisha says to him to do something, and he's healed from a distance. He's healed by washing in the Jordan. Which he didn't expect. From a distance. The man of God doesn't have to touch me. He doesn't have to accomplish this by being close to me and transferring his healing power to me. And he learns something about the power of the living God. It's a simple thing that Naaman had to do. But through this simple act, Naaman is completely healed. Well, the same thing happens here. They besought him that they might touch only the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, we don't have a great account here of the call to faith. We don't have the conversation between the people who brought these diseased people to Jesus, trying to persuade them, look, five other people touched the hem of his garment and they were healed. Why don't you try it? We don't have those conversations. We just know that the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful as the Messiah that people can touch the hem of his garment, and by touching it, they are made perfectly whole, completely healed. That's power. It's power. And it's also surprising, because the Lord Jesus Christ is not listening to the regulations of ritual uncleanness that characterize the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's not following the rules that a teacher was supposed to follow, because he's something else. He's something completely different. He's the one who's able to heal simply by having his garment touched. And he's able to heal not just one woman with a flow of blood, but all who touch his garment. We learn something about the power of Jesus Christ. We learn something about the compassion of Jesus Christ, being willing to be touched by people of all kinds who just are brought to him. We don't have a tremendous call for these people to place their faith in Jesus Christ as they touch his garment. It almost seems automatic. He heals anyone who touches his garment. That's an amazing thing in itself. He doesn't specifically give them a sermon and say, trust in me. Here you go. Now come forward and touch my garment. They simply ask to touch his garment. And they touch it and they are completely healed. The power of Jesus Christ extends over nature and over the fallen bodies of people. But the Lord Jesus Christ heals them all. We know as we go through the Gospel of Matthew, we know as we read the rest of the Bible, that it's necessary to trust in Jesus Christ. It's necessary to trust in him for forgiveness. But what we learn from this passage is that when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, when you trust in him to save you, he is able to do that. He's able to do that because he's able to heal and make perfectly whole people who simply touch the hem of his garment. The Lord Jesus Christ is a powerful Savior. And he is one who has come to bring true healing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. So we come into these situations in life where we begin to find ourselves in need of help, particularly when we are weak. And the psalmist gives words to our prayers. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Psalm 6, verse 2. Heal me. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. And we come to Jesus Christ. And what we need most of all is spiritual healing. We need forgiveness for our sins. We need for him to overcome the work of the devil in holding us captive to our fear of death. And if our fear of death holds us captive to the devil, we are not recognizing who Jesus Christ is. And this story shows us in great, clear, vivid detail. He's able to heal those who touch even the hem of his garment. Because you see, there's a day coming when those who are related to the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the greatest benefits of his presence. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ tonight, if you've come to him and asked him to heal you spiritually, first of all, to forgive your sins and to cleanse you as only he can, there is a day ahead where the Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What Naaman experienced by dipping into the Jordan, what these people experienced in the land of Gennesaret by touching the hem of Jesus' garment, you will experience if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. Full and complete deliverance from all of the things that hold you in this fallen world. Tears, death, sorrow, crying, pain, passed away. Full and complete healing. But you see, you must come to God through Jesus Christ. You must trust in him to be your Savior. You must recognize his power. You must be willing to do the simple thing. Put your life in the hands of Jesus Christ. To come to him and cry unto him and ask for healing. First of all, for your soul. And this healing for your body that is proclaimed in Revelation 21, verse 4, it's connected. It's one of the benefits of salvation. It's given to all who trust in Jesus Christ. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If you have sorrow tonight, if you are in tears, if you are experiencing pain, if you are experiencing the shadow of death, as a reminder to you, if there are tears in your eyes, remember this promise that all of these effects of a fallen world are scheduled to be removed. But the important thing today is the simple thing. Not seeing everything done ahead of time, but to trust the promise. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ with this simple act of faith. You are the Savior. Help me. And then all of the benefits of trusting in Jesus Christ are yours. Through him, the one who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. What would it be like to wear a crown on your head that represents the mercy of God? Tears wiped away. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. Because God is merciful to sinners like you and me.